Our scripture this morning is Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth. Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth.
He didn't have to call her over. He was in the middle of teaching. She had not said a word to him. No one had pleaded with him on her behalf. He didn't have to call her over, but he did. He didn't have to heal her. It was not like it was a matter of life or death, this ailment that kept her from standing straight. She had endured it for 18 years. What was one day more? He didn't have to heal her, but he did. He didn't have to touch her. The Gospel of Luke, by this point, has already given witness that Jesus doesn't even have to be in the same room to bring healing. This unclean woman could be healed without him laying a hand on her. That is certain. He didn't have to touch her, but he did. And all of this he did on the Sabbath. The Gospel of Luke has already also given witness to that as well, Jesus healing on the Sabbath. In fact, it's the very first miracle that Luke describes. Jesus in a synagogue, much like today's scripture. But the person that he healed that day was a man possessed by a demon, a man who was disrupting everything that was going on, yelling at Jesus and causing a real fuss. When Jesus sent the demon out of that man on that Sabbath, there is no record of anyone complaining about that. No one says a word when later on that same day he heals Peter's mother-in-law either. In fact, the word gets out and the whole town is soon at the door of their home looking for and receiving healing. He continues about his ministry, this gospel tells us, teaching intermingled with healing, healing a leper, a paralytic. Not on the Sabbath, though. Somehow we already know, though, that it doesn't matter what day of the week it is to Jesus. All that matters is the need that is in front of him. And the religious leaders knew it, too. So, when a man with a withered hand crosses Jesus' path one day on the Sabbath, the Pharisees are just waiting to see what he would do. And there, too, we see that Jesus calls the man over and declares him healed. The man is restored to health, and the Pharisees and the other teachers of the law that day are quite irate. More healings occur. A centurion's servant, that is the healing for which Jesus was not even in the room to bring about. A demoniac on the shore of the Gerasenes, Jairus' daughter, a woman with a bleeding condition, a boy with an evil spirit, a man with a demon. And then we reach today's story. It's a Sabbath day in the synagogue. A person there has not even asked for help, and Jesus brings healing and restoration. And we have one indignant law upholder. The leader of the synagogue, after all, was in charge of keeping order. And here, right under his nose, order was being challenged. 6 perfectly good days to do work. Not today, not today, he says over and over again, warning the crowd, perhaps not to get into their minds that they have sick relatives and friends too. It's against the law. It is clearly against the law. But was it? Was it really? If we look back into the Old Testament, we see 2 instances where the Torah records God's law regarding the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments, once in Exodus and once in Deuteronomy. And in both places, it is written, the seventh day is a Sabbath. You shall not do any work. Your son shall not do any work. Your daughter shall not do any work. Your slave, male or female, shall not do any work. Your livestock shall not work. The stranger in your land shall not work. Now, in Exodus, the reason behind the keeping of the Sabbath is tied to creation. God rested from creation, from his work, and he consecrated a holy day that his people should keep. In Deuteronomy, the reason behind the keeping of the Sabbath is tied to remembering their own delivery from captivity in Egypt. It says, after stating the commandment, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. But note, neither one of these say exactly what work is. Now, you here today might be happy enough to say that while work is not clearly defined in these commandments about the Sabbath, well, you know it when you see it. You don't need a definition. But that's not the way it was left. A footnote in one of my study Bibles states that the rabbis themselves admitted the rules about the Sabbath are as mountains hanging on a hair. For scripture is scanty and the rules are many. In other words, that footnote points out there was a tremendous amount of effort made to interpret what it meant to keep the Sabbath. And the rabbinic wisdom and interpretation of the law by the time of Jesus' day argued for 39 different prohibitions against work. Jesus, it seems, in healing the woman there that day, in front of the leader of the synagogue, was doing the work of a doctor. And that was work, and that was not allowed. And just as he had done in the earlier story in Luke when he healed the man with a withered hand in front of the Pharisees, Jesus here is challenging the leaders and the keepers of the law to look a little more closely at what the law was supposed to do. And he was questioning whether the keepers of the law were worshiping the law itself instead of the one who gave it. The keeper of the law that day in the synagogue was not celebrating with this woman and everyone else around her that God had set her free from her captivity to illness. He was instead bemoaning the fact that he had lost control of his area of influence. And Jesus calls him on it. He calls him on it by stating that some acceptable forms of work that are straight from the law, the man says he is upholding, include helping an animal live through the Sabbath by giving it food and water. Is not this restoration of a daughter of God worthy work, acceptable work also for the Sabbath? Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. This rescue from bondage seems just the sort of way to celebrate the Sabbath. And Jesus moves on through the rest of the Gospel of Luke, and there is another Sabbath healing, a healing of a man with dropsy, right at a dinner table with Pharisees. And there are non-Sabbath healings. The day of the week doesn't matter. 10 lepers, a blind beggar. Jesus heals all the way through his story, right until he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he heals the ear of a servant that someone cut off in their emotion as Jesus is being arrested. So what does this all mean to us today? These testimonies about Jesus healing, people who asked for help and those who did not, people he touched and those he did not even see, on the Sabbath and on days not even named, these testimonies show us that the kingdom of God that Jesus was announcing and that we are still a part of today is a kingdom about wholeness for all people. And while our rules about what is and what is not appropriate may not have so much to do with what day of the week it is anymore, and that's a point we could have a whole nother discussion about, but while our rules about what is and is not appropriate don't really get based on the days of the week anymore, when we think about it, we realize that we definitely do still have ideas about what is right and what is not, what is worthy of our efforts, and what is not. And that is where Jesus challenges us to move on to the next level here today, to get the extra credit from this lesson that looks like it's about the Sabbath, but is really about the kingdom and what that really means and what that really looks like. Jesus is challenging us to look up from our work and our worship, and our study, and our prayer. Jesus is challenging us to look up and to see, to notice, to acknowledge the ones around us who are bent over in hopelessness, resigned to their fates, unable to even ask for help without a friend to ask for them. Jesus is challenging us to call them over, to bless them, to touch them, to welcome them in, to do everything in our power to restore them to wholeness in his name. No matter who they are, no matter what they have done, and definitely no matter what day of the week it is. For this is the kingdom of God. And this is Sabbath, remembering what bondage we have been freed from and announcing that freedom to every man, woman, and child on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit within each one of us speak to the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within each person that we meet this week, that we all might come to know the full measure of freedom and restoration in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, sometimes we are so much about our work, and sometimes even so much about your work, that we're unaware of the people around us. We have the things that we must do. We have the ministries that we are involved in. But are we really listening? Are we really seeing the people around us? Are we really trying to answer what they need without them even asking? Lord, your kingdom is a kingdom of healing and restoration. And we are called to be instruments of that. So help us this week, Lord, to look up from our work, from all of the good things that we are about, and from the distracting things, and to see your people, and to bring them hope, and to welcome them in, and to show them your love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.